Welcome to Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church, located in Green Valley and serving all of Southern Arizona. Join us each week as we help you into a deeper, sanctified walk of grace with Jesus Christ through the teaching and preaching of the Bible as the infallible, inspired Word of God. Now, let's join Pastor Steve with today's message on learning to live for God.
These charges got to disappear, the captain says. I said, Cap, I can't do it. He said, you're gonna get fired if you don't. The inspector calls me in. Now, if you've been in the military, that would be the equivalent of being called before a four-star general. There's only one or two that are higher than the inspector. I had an exemplary record. I was the very first graduate of the Pennsylvania Police Academy to graduate the academy at the ripe old age of 18. They had just changed the law. By the time I turned 21, they had turned the law back to 21, and I already had three stripes. I was a sergeant. And the inspector says, you're one of us. This has got to go away, because if it don't, you will. And I didn't know whether that was going to mean I was going to end up in a dumpster somewhere, or you laugh, but I'm not kidding you. This was Philadelphia. I couldn't do it. They ended up, about 4 months later, firing me for turning my red and blue lights on in a non-emergency situation. I had to serve a warrant on a guy, and he was trying to get on an airplane to skip the country. And so I turned my red and blue lights on, which is just normal. And they said, oh, that's a violation of policy. Went through the whole thing. I get fired. We're homeless. Never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. So we pray. Guy comes and says, I heard you might have problems, and I knew you lived here, and I just thought I'd give you some help. Not a Christian. 5 bags of groceries. And just to show you how God put his fingerprint on it, every brand of every product was the exact same brand that Deborah and I use. It was Heinz ketchup instead of Hunt's. It was Land O'Lakes butter instead of Safeway butter. It was, log cabin syrup instead of Mrs. Butter. Every product, right down. That's how God let us know that you need not worry about tomorrow, for sufficient is the day thereof. Now Paul's in prison, Philippians, and he writes, he says, I don't know what's better. For you, it'd be better if I stay, but for me, it would be a lot better if I go. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. Let's skip down to the 27th verse. Only let your conversation, and this is what I'm talking about when I talk about a grace church being full of grace people. Some of the hardest lessons to learn in this regard is learning to keep our mouths shut. Sometimes it's far better to just shut up and pray. Nobody needs to know that, oh, you shouldn't be smoking those. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. And don't you know that? And you can beat people over the head with the law. And if it makes you feel better about yourself, knock yourself out. But I'm telling you, it is not the Spirit of the Lord. It is not the ways of the Holy Spirit. It is yourself trying to make yourself feel more important in this person's life, usually to their detriment. It's no wonder people will not come to churches. I'm not talking about this church necessarily, but I'm telling you, it's been people's experience that if you're a representative, or if this person is a representation of what a church is like, I'd rather go to the bar where they accept me, and they accept me just the way I am, and they don't criticize me, and they don't condemn me, and they don't beat me up. I told you last week, sinners don't need to be told that they are sinners. They know that they sin. That's what sinners do. They sin. And even we as Christians, I know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new. But I got news for you. You didn't change in a moment in the blink. You will when he comes back. But you didn't change your old sinful habits the minute you accepted Christ. Certainly there were things that changed in your life or you wouldn't be here today. But every one of us, listen to me. Every one of us is still being shaped and molded by our Creator. It's called the process of sanctification. And the minute you try and squish somebody that's being shaped and molded by the Lord, you are now getting in the way. Satan works more with Christians in churches than he does with folks that don't know the Lord, because with our tongue, we can cut people to pieces. Now, a grace church should be full of gracious people. I'm going to tell you something else that drives people crazy. You're going to go today, right? Lunch. I don't care if the waiter or the waitress gives you terrible service. The worst thing that you can do as a born-again believer is go to a restaurant, go to a diner, and leave a Bible track for your tip. Now, that's nice. You say, well, they're going to hear the word of God. Are you kidding me? Listen to me, you cheapskate. If you can't afford to leave a good tip, don't go out. Because I got news for you. You have no idea what's going through this person's life. They might have given you terrible service. I got news for you. If it wasn't for them and people like them, you wouldn't have any service at all. You get what I'm saying? So, fine. You know, somebody's rude to you or they pour coffee on your head. Yeah, all right, fine. I get that. But I'm just talking about the general course of things. You are supposed to be a light on a hill. And Jesus said, nobody takes a light and puts it under a basket. Nobody puts their candle under their bed. You're supposed to shine. You can't afford to leave a decent tip. And if you want to leave a tip and a Bible track, great, knock yourself out. You want to leave a tip and some information about your church? Fine. But again, don't be a cheapskate. And I'm telling you, people have come up to me. It's been a couple years. Nobody that's here today. Like, they're all proud. Yeah, we went out and we left Bible tracts instead of tips. No. No, you've done more harm for the cause of Christ than you think you're doing good. And it's just what it boils down to, it, you're just being cheap. Let your conversation, 27th verse, let your conversation be that as it becomes the gospel or the good news of Christ. That whether I come to see you, Paul says, or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs. And that you stand fast in one spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, with one mind, that's the mind of Christ, striving together for faith of the gospel. Now, Galatians chapter 5, I don't know if Sarah has it, it might appear up there or not, I don't know. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and its desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. This is why I'm telling you, it's not important that everybody you come in contact with get corrected on every little thing. Let me tell you something. If you don't agree, it's okay to say, I don't agree. You certainly don't have to lie and say, oh, you're right, you're right. Now, look, I don't agree. So how's your day going? I mean, you, look, this idea that you've got to stand, oh, I'm standing up for the Lord. No, you're not. You're standing up for yourself. You're standing up, I showed them, boy. Are you kidding me? Because they look at you and they say, if you are a representative of Christ, I don't think I'm interested. That's how detrimental our flesh can be if we are not submitted to him on a daily basis. That's why we sing the song, more of you, Lord, less of me. That's why my prayer is every day, more of him in my life, less of me. Because when I get involved, and I'm the pastor of the church for crying out loud, but I'm not kidding you, when I get involved, I screw things up. You could just ask the AV people. I get involved over there. They're ready. If I wasn't the pastor, they would tell me to get the heck out of here. That's why I don't micromanage. You want to sing? Sing. You want to do the AV? Do the AV. You want to do the Easter music? Do the Easter music. Well, it's all for the glory of God, not for the glory of Pastor Steve. We got to move on here. A couple more verses. And nothing, and 28th verse, I'm in Philippians chapter 1, verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token or perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. That's a tough one to understand. I don't have a lot of time to break this down. Maybe some other day. But basically, the world is closing in on us. And if you don't see it, you don't got your eyes open. The things of the world, darkness is closing in on Christians like there's no tomorrow. I just heard of another batch of Christians just yesterday that got their heads cut off. These are all things that Jesus told us is going to happen. And very shortly, although we may not be in imminent danger of having our heads cut off, I'm telling you, very shortly, these false Christs and these false religions are going to start to rear their ugly head. And you and I, as Bible believers, as trusting in Christ and Christ alone, as believers that trust in his word and trust in his return, you and I are going to become more marginalized and marginalized. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, and even more so as you see that day approaching. 29, for unto us is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. Now, some of your Bibles may use a different word in the 29th verse, but that word in the Greek, suffer, is the word pasco. It means to experience, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a bad thing. When you suffer for Christ, in the Greek, you pasco, it means you are enjoying the good, and as Paul, certainly suffering for Christ in jail. Getting back to the wrath of God. The wrath of God will not be poured out on you, but if we're still here, you may feel the effects of it. If wormwood comes and a third of the world gets wiped out by an asteroid or a meteorite, you might not have the luxury of your cell phone. You might not have the luxury of electricity. And so, therefore, the grocery stores might be empty. You may not be able to get to the grocery store. So if we're still here when this stuff begins to happen in this country, and it will sooner or later, you can just see the handwriting on the wall. I don't want to get political today, but you can see it, but God will see you through it. That's all you need to take out of this portion of the sermon. God will see you through it. All you got to do is ask. That's all you got to do. I don't care what your needs are, he will provide them. And if he doesn't provide your needs in an immediate way like you think he should, I promise you, according to the word of God, he'll weave you through whatever it is you're going through, no matter how tragic it may be. 30th verse, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me, talking about being in jail. Let's go to Philippians 2. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there's any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded. And I'm just going to remind you once again, it's not important that you win every argument. It's not important that somebody believe exactly the way you believe. You worry about you and let God worry about them. We are all at different levels. I told you before, when we only had 6 people in my kitchen for a Bible study, one of the young fellows used to get up and have a cigarette. Now, I knew, the others didn't, but I knew he had other serious problems at home, sin problems. And so smoking that cigarette, a guy left the church. You're the pastor. Aren't you going to tell him he shouldn't smoke cigarettes? We all agree he shouldn't smoke cigarettes. I get that. But if I, as the pastor, would have condemned him and said, hey, buddy, you know, you can't really be a real Christian and smoke cigarettes, he never would have came back to the Bible study in the first place. I'm telling you, we are quick to condemn others. We're quick to condemn ourselves. We're quick to condemn others. My Bible tells me in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now how much condemnation? No condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Second verse, for the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed us from the law of sin and death. This is why I tell you, in this church, we lift up Jesus. We lift him up as the answer for your smoking problem. We lift him up for the answer to your sexual problem. We lift him up to the answer of your medical or physical problems. We lift him up. We lift him up. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's the beginning. He's the end. He's all you ever need. He's all you ever will need. And he became everything you ever needed. A big old amen goes there. If there be any consolation, therefore, in Christ, in any comfort of love, Philippians 2, any fellowship of the Spirit, and any bowels of mercy, fulfill my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being in one accord and one mind. He's not talking about robots. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, that just means non-Jew there. For in it, the righteousness is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live for faith. Now listen to me, I wish I had more time to expound on this. God, the righteousness of God, which is only found in Christ, is revealed from faith to faith. Just because a born-again believer has some sinful habits that you think, oh, this is just the worst thing in the world, doesn't mean that God isn't working with them on 15 other things that are much more important to him and his growth in the Lord than it is to your selfish self who thinks you know better for this person. I'm telling you, it's the Spirit of Christ that frees people. And if you've got your eyes on other people and what they're doing or what they're not doing or making sure that they dot their I's and that they cross their T's or they dress in a certain way or they don't go watch certain things or they don't read certain things. Are you kidding me? That's not the Spirit of grace. The same Spirit of grace that saved you is the same Spirit of grace that is at work in that person. Unless you have and I believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but unless you have a word from the Lord directly, you know what that means? Zip it! Not looking for robots. Romans chapter 10. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, we've all met people that are the self-appointed Gestapo for proper Christian behavior. You don't have to know this pastor very long to realize that mold has been broken. I am not your average pastor. I don't look like your average pastor. Sometimes I don't talk like your average pastor. And I don't really know what an average pastor is supposed to look like. But I'm here to get you closer to him. I know what I've been called. I know in whom I have believed. And I trust that he is able to keep that which he's promised me against that day. My job is to help you get closer to him. And the more you're worried about yourself, the more you're worried about the person next to you, whether they smoke or they don't smoke, or whether they go to the movies or they don't go to the movies, whether they drink booze or they don't drink, the more you're worried about them, the less you're going to have your eyes on Jesus. I'm here to tell you, folks, keep your eyes on Jesus. 2 Corinthians 3, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed. You're being transformed. That person that you think you need to teach them the ways of being a real Christian, they also are being transformed. It's sanctification. In a minute, we're going to read from Isaiah. Precept upon precept. here a little, there a little. But in 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians, it says, but we all, that's every one of us, with unveiled face, which means we have a direct relationship with God. There is no more veil between us and the presence of God. We have an unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. That's Jesus in us. That's Jesus in this person that you want to tell how to live their life. Where am I here? Are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Where's the gospel Gestapo in that verse? Isaiah. Whom will he teach knowledge? And whom will he make to understand the message? Just those just weaned from milk? Those just drawn from the breast? For precept upon precept upon precept upon precept, line by line upon line, here a little, there a little. This is how God grows believers. Get out of the way. If you can't help yourself, walk away. You don't have to be right all the time. You don't have to. Look, if you're called to teach or preach, fine. That's a whole different story. But if you're just a no-good do-gooder, I'm telling you, a grace church needs to be full of grace people. And then he goes on to say in 1 Corinthians 3, I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk. The law is the milk. The rules are the milk. If you think by performing A, B, and C every day, whatever that is, long as I read 1 3/4 chapters every day, I'm good. As long as I pray for 6.7 minutes, I'm good. As long as I share one Bible track a day, I'm good. And as long as I do that with every day, I read that 6.1 and I pray the 7.1, I forget now, and I give that Bible track out, the Lord must accept me. It doesn't work that way. You've just created a law out of something that it could be a good work, but you've turned it into a work of the law. You've turned it into a law. Same thing goes on the other spectrum. You know, if you sit there and say, if I don't read 2 chapters a day, I don't feel like I'm a good Christian. Well, no offense to your sensibilities, but I don't care how you feel. I want to know that you're talking to the Lord, that you're walking with the Lord every day, day in, day out, dare I say, on an hourly basis. Because through the Spirit and through His Word, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. We're all growing in the Lord, and I don't care if you've been a Christian for 60 years or 60 days. We're all at different levels, and if you don't appreciate someone that has perhaps not been around as long as you have, if you think it's your sworn duty to straighten them out because they're doing things that you would never think of doing, you are judging them, you are in your flesh, you are interfering. Oh, I'm getting tough. Did you curl your toes up for this one? Because I hope this doesn't apply to anybody in this room or anybody that's watching me. But I'm telling you, that's the milk. The law is the milk. The rules are the milk. Grace is the goodness of God. People say, well, what's grace? It's unmerited favor. That's correct. But the grace of God is the goodness of God. And when you're sharing the goodness of God, when you are living the goodness of God, you will not have time to criticize people because they go to the movies. You will not have time to criticize people because they consume certain things that you think is just makes them the worst. Oh, my goodness gracious. Zip it. Zip it. One more. I, brethren, could not, 1 Corinthians, let's finish it, 3, 1 through 3. I, brethren, could not speak to you as carnal, as spiritual, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food. The solid food is a life of grace, a life lived by faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed God. It was his faith. and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Not that he stopped smoking, not that he stopped drinking, not that he obeyed a bunch of man-made rules or regulations, or he conformed to what a religion's idea of what a good Christian is. A good Christian is one who answers to Christ and Christ alone. Not your pastor, not your neighbor, a little bit for your husband and wife, but that's a different story. It's a give and take thing, but you answer to Jesus Christ first. For you are still carnal, for where there are envy, strife, and divisions among you, you are not, are you not carnal and believing like men? A grace church should be full of gracious people. And one of the worst things we can do, look, your flesh, I've told you this before, it's constantly going to pull you in the wrong direction. Your flesh always wants to do what's selfish and what you think you need. But I'm telling you, the more you look to the real deal, the more you look to Jesus Christ, for there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who live not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Because the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has freed you. Freed you. Everybody say, I'm free. From the spirit of sin and death. It's only Jesus, folks. If you're watching me by video right now and you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, I'm not going to ask you to join a religion, but I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. Something's missing. You just heard a teaching and you're like, I need whatever it is that these people have. I need it. You can have it by faith. The Bible says that Abraham believed God. Well, I don't really know if I have enough faith to believe. That's all right. He'll help you right now. If you're watching me by the YouTube channel and you've never asked Jesus into your heart, I'm going to ask you to pray with these folks right now. It's just a simple prayer. The words aren't that important. But if you mean it in your heart, Jesus will come in and reside in you, and you will become the righteousness of God. It may take a while, like it did for me, but it'll happen. Everybody, let's bow our heads and close our eyes and say, Dear Jesus, I believe that God sent you to die for my sins. And right now, I am sorry for my sins. Jesus, come into my life and help me to live for you. Help me to take my eyes off of other people and keep my eyes on you. And right now, by faith, I believe I'm washed. I believe I'm cleansed. I am saved.
Thank you for listening to today's message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin of Southern Arizona Community Church in Green Valley. We hope that you are encouraged and inspired to walk closer to Jesus Christ. We invite you and your family to visit us in person each Sunday morning at 10 a.m. at the Community and Performance and Arts Center at 1250 West Continental Road in Green Valley. Just take I-19 to Continental Road, exit 63, and go west and follow the signs to Southern Arizona Community Church. For a Google map, visit our website at soazcc.org. For those unable to attend in person on Sundays, we invite you to listen to this program and also to visit our website at soazcc.org for a link to the live YouTube broadcast of our Sunday service. Our website again is soazcc.org. That's soazcc.org. Join us again next Sunday morning at this same time for another encouraging and inspiring message on Learning to Live for God with Pastor Steve Akin.